First of all, thank you so much for the opportunity to present to the audience. My background is, like most of you here, probably WCS, a range of technologies and engineering aspects. But what struck me was my background is actually in device physics and in software. What's interesting is I'm thinking of two things in my head. One is from a different ecosystem, the idea of rough consensus and running code. And there's another important aspect that is early optimization is the root of all evil. That is, you need to look at a lot of choices, but you need efficiency. You need to be able to run things. You need to be, I think the Oktu guys are also talking about this. You need to have platforms. You need to be able to think. You need to be able to execute. And you need to have that cycle running fast. So that's what we are going to talk about here. A lot of what we do and what we provide is platforms and frameworks. So we'll talk about a little bit about Radisys, our products, our ecosystems. There is a range of capabilities, and those capabilities are mapped to different silicon underlying substrates that I don't think have been fully explored. So we'll talk about that, the different L1 file layers. There was some discussion on the E3 interface, dApps. We'll talk about that, why that's important, because we believe that having that level of standardization is needed to allow a number of these capabilities to come to the fore. Then our product, what do we support for ISAC, and how do we help vendors and operators take all of this to actual commercialization? That's an important part. It's not just theory. It is not just trying things out, but how do you commercialize? This is a bit of an overview, but I'm going to skip this. This is part of the overall. So what we do is to be Radisys, at a high level, we rethink the network. We are multi-RAN, multi-platform. We support many use cases, but not just use cases across many form factors. We are cloud native, so we completely virtualize, scalable, cloud agnostic. All of our code runs as microservices. And a lot of this is disaggregated. That is, this can be hosted on COTS solution. It can be both distributed and centralized deployments, depending upon the use case. And what we bring to the table is really flexibility in deployment options, scalability in networks, faster time to market. So like I was starting out, we have to be able to explore many choices, but we need to move towards commercialization. We need to have that flywheel loop of being able to put things out, have people use it, come back and monetize these applications. So that's what we help. So we are multi-RAN, multi-form factor, cloud native, and disaggregated. So when we talk of multi-RAN, what do we mean? We look at this across five different dimensions. We are currently, we support network in a box, we support small cells, we support macros, software for all those different choices. We support a variety of Intel platforms, NVIDIA, AMD, ARM platforms. We also support the Qualcomm. And that's important because when you have different choices, how do you try out those choices with different silicon and ensure that those choices, how do you trade them off for feature performance? All of that becomes important. We have a complete set of VCU, DVDU. We support multi-cells with scale in, scale out, and of course, the multi-Gbps. We have an NTN aspect of this that we haven't discussed, but that is a complete NTN capability in our stacks. And like I said, we support small cells, both indoor and outdoor, sub-6 and millimeter wave. I'll just give you some quick examples coming up. But effectively, we create or help you create products based on a framework implementation. And that framework implementation will take you all the way to not just to POCs, but all the way to commercialization. We are the engine behind majority of a large number of 4G and 5G advanced solutions. And these span everything from test and measurement to enterprise to defense, research. All of these are perfectly valid capability or domains where our software and our capabilities are applied. It's a bit of an eye chart, but the span spans all the way from 4G, 5G advanced, NTN, all of that is a part of our portfolio. Because the ecosystem is so broad, it's important for us to have good partnerships. So we have partnerships, like I said, among a number of five accelerator vendors, NPU SOCs. You have seen everything from Intel, Qualcomm, NXP. These are all integrations we have actually completed, ready to go, because we want to be able to accelerate your time to market, along with the RU partners. And you see a number of them listed on the right. And all of these, or many of these partners, we've integrated, ready to provide commercial deployments. And ISAC will be part of this as part of the overall interfaces we support. The next few slides are just examples. So we have Tower Bottom, ORAN, CU plus DU. We have applications or deployments at the CBRS across many, many bands. We have anything from 3 cells to 6 cells. And all of these are running the same software that we have, but supporting different PHY levels. Those could be anyone from Intel to NVIDIA to Qualcomm, all of them supported with the same higher level software. We also support FR2. So we have indoor and outdoor millimeter wave small cells. And this is an example that vendors have created using our software with the Qualcomm 155. It also comes with our own Snow EMS. And going back to the previous one, that Snow EMS also supports a domain proxy. So this can be used CBRS in the CBRS band, or it can be used for managing small cells, as shown here. So let's come to ISAC for a second. So on the ISAC side, where multiple folks have talked about this, two major modes, looks like a radar with a transmit and receive, or with an external sensor. Most of it is on the left side for us, less with the external sensor. We have talked about monostatic, bistatic, and multistatic modes. And most of what we see is starting with this monostatic. But there are folks who are moving to bistatic and multistatic, which is where we believe the real applications are. But people start with monostatic, and people want to make sure that their algorithms, their overall solution has been validated before they move. And what we provide is that validation environment where you can quickly and easily modify different parameters, update the capability of the system, and see how your overall solution, both on feature side and performance, scales. Given that this is ORAN-based, we are, of course, compliant to all the major ORAN interfaces. And we should really think about three different feedback loops in the overall ORAN architecture. There is the high-level non-real-time control loops, the near-real-time control loops in the middle, and what we think of as the hard real-time control loops at the bottom. And a lot of times what we see is, as our customers adopt our underlying platform, they want to be able to move towards the hard real time. But the question is, how can they do that efficiently? So if you look at the control loops that are there, starting from the top, it's 1 second, about 10 to 1 second, and going all the way down to milliseconds. Where we see the sweet spot is in the tens of milliseconds, maybe even lower today. But that is something that is still, like other speakers have mentioned, is being developed, and we expect this to be an area of continued development. So this is the real reason why we have a lot of integration. Whatever work we've done at ISAC is with our DU, because the control loops demand that that code, the DApp code, is running along with the E3 interface, is running extremely closely to the DU. Because without that, you're not going to get the performance, you're not going to get the features, you're not going to get the scale, but that has to be done pretty quickly from the start. It is not as an afterthought. You have to think about that ahead, how you're going to solve those latency challenges. So let's talk about what we think of as the E3 or pre-E3 integration. So what we have created is the E3 agent, the E3 API layer, has the setup request response. By the way, the whole thing is request and response based, subscription with RAN indication messages. We support E2 already today. And we are looking at the bridge capabilities. But effectively, we extend our E2 all the way to E3. We can provide telemetry, KPMs, PDUs. We can get the DApp intelligent logic integrated with our DApp. And that we have done with a few vendors. Effectively, this entire architecture requires what we believe is tight integration on E3, because that is the heart of being able to provide the feature, the scale, and the performance. So without that, we don't believe that the entire system is going to scale. We have done a number of end-to-end, previously I mentioned, interoperable multi-vendor 5G deployments, starting from the non-RT RIC platform at the top, near RT in the middle, the Radisys EMS node to the right. And what we offer is the scalable baseband software. SCU control plane, user plane, DU instances, all running as microcode. And we support a number of cloud architectures, all the way from Red Hat to Ubuntu to even Community K8s. And all of this is supported by different FIs. The code can run on cart servers, it can run on specialized servers, and we perform both the development and integration, whatever is needed for ISAC and for the interfaces required to support it. So what we see is a typical application where on the left side, the same DApp, we see a DApp manager, we see a collection of DApp managers, and each of those DApp managers has a set of DApps underneath. So there is a common interface, a common capability that we have provided that have allowed multiple DApp managers to integrate with us. A little bit going deeper into the CU and DU, what we see is that middle block has the L2MAX scheduler, spectrum resources for sensing. And all this becomes important because, for example, in ISAC, you might want to have interference managed scheduling or interference control scheduling. You might want to have certain pulse trains. You might need to have certain pilot streams. So for all of that requires deep control of the scheduler, which is what we provide as part of the that middle box, the L2MAX scheduler. Connected to it is, of course, L3 data and control, OAM, sensing apps on the left, the DApp manager, and the E3 interface that we just talked about. All of this can be from different vendors, monostatic, bistatic, multistatic. We currently are focused more on the monostatic, but bistatic and multistatic is absolutely coming up. We also realized that the end-to-end use case is more than just RAN, because part of, I think, the scaling challenge is where do you run what type of code for what kind of loop that you need to perform, and how do you not only just have the feature, but how do you scale? So for that, what we realize is there are, and again, the key use case is we believe the UAV drone detection, that is extremely high. Autonomous mobility, it is high. Or other kinds of AR, VR, XR with digital twins is also high. But for all of these, it's an end-to-end problem. It's not just solve it in the RAN and all the magic happens. No, you will have to solve this in the RAN. For example, the LMF, on the core side has to happen. You need to have different kinds of data plane processing, exposure, monetization, APIs. So there's a lot of integration work that needs to happen to get ISAC working. That's our belief. The RAN is one part of it. We talked about a lot of use cases. This is a listing of the use cases, and the slicing here is across three domains. That is, what is the operator utility? What is the community benefit? And what are the business drivers? It's not good enough to talk about just one of them, but we need to look at all of these. We have looked at different SCM frameworks that was mentioned. There's a whole set of scattering parameters, whether it's RCS, polarization. There are lots of target attributes, delay Doppler plane, signal direction, angular resolution, azimuth. The reason I'm putting all this is different for many of these use cases. It's not like one size fits all. So what you really need is you need a framework. You need a partner who can get ISAC and 6G ready RAN going. So you want to be multi-silicon ready. You want to have flexible ISAC architectures. So you want to be start with monostatic, but really, as others have talked about, you would have to go towards multi-static for real world. You want to be cloud native and you want to be modular because you want to be able to scale different aspects of the system without changing everything. You want AI native RAN enablement. So our company has deep expertise in the CNN and other types of models, so we can absolutely bring that to the table. You want somebody with a strong 6G roadmap. And most important, you want to go from POCs to commercialization, because this goes back to you have to look at choices, but you also have to efficiently deploy. You want to be able to have a CI/CD pipeline that takes you from ideas to code to POCs to commercialization. And that's where we can help, because there is a lot of integration that is needed as part of this process. So you want a trusted software integration partner, that end-to-end integration I just talked about. So we hope you would choose us to power the next generation of ISAC and AI native RAN. Given our breadth, given all our capabilities, we believe we'd be the right partner for ISAC for you. Thank you.